You know, every day we come in contact with something or someone who can be potentially dangerous to us. Therefore, man has come up with the idea of danger signs. And we see them everywhere. Warnings, if you will, that cause us to take a step back, to stop, and beware of what is ahead of us. For example, let's say that you're driving down the road and you see this sign, bridge out 3.5 miles ahead. What are you going to do when you see this particular sign in the middle of the highway? Well, in all probability, you're going to stop. And you're going to turn around and go back, or at least go a different way. But there may be some here that will see this sign and they may think to themselves, well, my goodness, this is 3.5 miles ahead. There's no telling how long that sign has been here, and they may already have that bridge fixed by now. So you continue on your way on this road, knowing that that sign just warned you that the bridge was out. But let's say you keep going a little farther and you see this sign, and you see the picture of the bridge behind that sign, and it says bridge out. Now what are you going to do? Things may be a little bit differently now because you know you can't cross that bridge because it's not there. So you take this sign a little more seriously because you're looking at where the bridge is supposed to be but is out. You see the proof. When we got in our car this morning and to come to worship service, one of the first things that the car told you when you got inside of it was to fasten your seat belt. Now, there's a big flashing light that shows up on my car, and it says, fasten seat belt. And if you don't do it, a bell will ring constantly until you do. So you see the importance of this warning sign to fasten your seat belt, because we fasten our seat belts because seat belts save lives. I know this for an absolute fact because I was in an automobile accident on one occasion, and the seat belts held me in place and kept me from moving around. And if that's not proof enough, ask Claude Harrell Jr. about this. Several years ago, I sold Claude a blue Taurus when we were getting ready to buy something else, and he bought the car for his daughter to drive, Kelsey. And I never have thought of that car as a safety feature until Kelsey had an accident in it. And it just wrecked that car and tore it up. But the seatbelt and those airbags in that car saved her life. And she'll be the first one to tell you that. It's very important that we follow this warning sign. So important. You know, there are many dangers all around us. We find them in the home. We find them here at the church building. Do you recognize this sign? We've all seen this one a few times, haven't we? The skull and crossbone sign. We will find in our closets and in our cabinets will be filled with the cross, with the skull and crossbone sign, warning us of poison that is in the bottles and the boxes of our cleaning products that we have and use every day in our home. So we're well familiar with this sign. Well, what about this sign? Our appliances will have a label saying danger, high voltage. Now, we're looking at deadly force here. You know, when we were working with the Lone Cedar congregation back in Alabama, back in the early 90s, I was leaving the auditorium after one Sunday morning service, and I saw one of Mandy and Philip's little friends sitting at the back on the floor against the back wall, and he was playing with something. And he was about 6 or 7 years old at the time. And when I got close enough, I could see he had a paper clip in his hands. Not ones like you see today that are plastic, but the metal paper clips. And he had unfolded that paper clip and was in the process of sticking it into the light socket, in the power socket. And when I saw him, I yelled at him, "William, stop!" Well, he didn't stop. And I raced over there to him, and I literally grabbed him by the shirt collar, and I threw him across the auditorium into the pews. Because if he had connected with that paper clip to that electrical socket, William wouldn't be here today. And I grabbed him up and I gave him a tongue lashing like you would not believe. And everybody in the building heard me. "Boy, what's the matter with you? Don't you know this is electricity? Don't you know this can kill you?" Well, really, he didn't. He had no knowledge of the power of electricity. But it scared me and everybody else who saw it that day, because several people saw him doing that. After that incident, the church put on safety covers around all the receptacles throughout the church building, and rightly so. We look at these signs, these danger signs. We know that the things that they are warning us of can cause us harm or even death. We teach our children these signs so that they will know to stay away from these things. Warning signs are very important. But tell me this. How would you react to this sign? Now, I don't know if there's really a sign out there like this one. I made this one. Watch out for your soul. You know, unfortunately, when we look at warning signs, we would look at this one somewhat differently, would we? Sometimes we tend to overlook the warnings that endanger our soul. The Bible is filled with scripture that gives us warning signs of things that can jeopardize our soul. And you usually can recognize these dangers from two words. Take heed. You will find the words "take heed" many times throughout scripture. Now, what I want to do today and tonight is I want us to take a look at some of the "take heed" signs that we see all around us from God's Word. This lesson is designed to remind you that God has warned us about Satan's traps, and he has provided a way for us to get away from his traps by telling us to take heed. So let's talk about taking heed today and this evening. First of all, we need to take heed as to how we hear. Now in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, or before verse 18, Jesus has just told his disciples the parable of the sower. And when he finished this parable, well, the disciples didn't really understand the story that he was telling and the meaning of the story that he was telling. So they asked him, "What might this parable be? Explain to us this parable." So Jesus explained the parable beginning with verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and then in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And then later on in verse 18, Jesus says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Because you see, if you are on the wayside, Satan will come in and take the word away from you, as we see the birds taking away the seed. If you are on a rocky ground, and if you are a rocky ground hearer, then you will have no root. And with no root, it is so easy to fall into temptation. If you are on thorny ground, and you are a thorny ground hearer, then you can be choked with the pleasures of this life, and you will have no fruit. So, my friends, we need to be good ground hearers. Because good ground hearers have a goal, and they have an honest heart, and they will bear much fruit. So we need to be careful about how we hear. Now, James tells us that we need to take heed not to be a forgetful hearer. You know, sometimes it amazes me to see all the forgetful hearers that we have in the world and even in the church. I've never quite figured out why it is that we will remember God when it is convenient for us to remember God. But we will forget God when it is an inconvenient time for us to remember Him. In times of sickness or the death of a loved one, we remember God because we want God to be with us. We want that comfort that only God can give. But later on, we forget Him. Many times I have heard someone say, Lord, if you will just spare my life, or Lord, if you will just let me have this thing my way, I will live for you. But later on, when things work out for their good, they forget that promise. How many times have you sat here in the auditorium and been moved by what the gospel of Christ has said to you? To either become a Christian or to rededicate your life to the Lord. But later on, you forget that feeling and you stop practicing what you have heard. You are a forgetful hearer. I want to tell you a story that's very difficult for me to tell. My father was not a Christian. My father was raised in the church. Everyone else in the family are Christians except for him. Now, I remember as a little boy, my daddy knew the Bible better than probably some of us in this room today. And he would defend God and the church and God's word with every breath that he had when someone challenged religion. But he never obeyed the gospel. And you know, I think about that every time I think about my father. And every time I go to his grave, it's this story that comes to my mind. He knew it, and he forgot it. And I was about maybe 14, maybe 15 years old, the very first time that he heard me preach. I had preached several times, and he just never had come. But on this occasion, he came to hear me preach. When the invitation song was sung, he didn't stand like everyone else did. He sat there. Finally, he stood up, got his songbook, and held it, but held it upside down. Finally, he put the book down, and he grabbed the pew in front of him. And he clasped that pew so tight that his knuckles became white. He was touched by the Word of God. He came many times to hear me preach since. and he learned to stand with book in hand and sing with the best. He had become dull. He had become a forgetful hearer. My friends, that's what happens to you when you put God aside. And then you become what our next point is, a dull ear hearer. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 15, beginning, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, so that I could heal them." Their heart has grown hard. These are the people who have heard it so much that it doesn't bother them anymore, just like my daddy who didn't no longer have to clasp on to that pew in front of him. And they've turned a deaf ear. And chances are these people will never be reached. The dull ear hearer. Now let's talk about the itching ear hearer. Now, the itching ear here, we find out from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. Paul, writing to Timothy here, says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Do we see this today? All we have to do is walk outside of this building and simply look around, and there it is. Everywhere. Everywhere, religious groups are in the world today with itching ears. Now, this is what Paul means when he says itching ears. Those who have taken God's word and changed it. We have people who have left the teachings of the Bible and have turned it into fables, as Paul calls it here. And it amazes me sometimes at some of the stuff that people call God's word, and yet it's not there. You tell me, where in the Bible does it talk about baptizing infants? It's not there. You won't find it in God's word. Tell me in the Bible where it singles out one man and tells us to call him Father and go to him to have our sins forgiven. Where is it in the scripture? Well, again, it's not there. You won't find it anywhere. But now this is the one that really gets my attention. Just pray the sinner's prayer and you will be saved. Tell me where in the Bible you will find these words of the sinner's prayer. "I have looked from in the beginning to Lord come quickly," and every word in between. This phrase is not there. The sinner's prayer is nowhere in the Bible. Why? Because it is not a part of God's plan. Do you know where the sinner's prayer got its start? The sinner's prayer got its start in the Reformation movement that took place in the 16th and 17th centuries. Protestant theology, which was in opposition to Catholicism, led the group in opposing some of the Catholic doctrines, such as indulgences, and they kept some of them, such as infant baptism. And in trying to reform the Catholic Church, these groups formulated their own doctrines of salvation, which included salvation before baptism and salvation with no baptism. John Bunyan, who was the author of what was known as the Pilgrim's Progress, which was published in the 1600s, he published this particular doctrine of the once saved, always saved in 1678. This made it very popular among the Anglo-American Puritans and the evangelical preachers of the 17th and 18th century. They used phrases like, "Receive Christ into your heart and you will be saved." They describe a personal Christian relationship with Jesus, and it stuck. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not going to get it through the sinner's prayer. It has now basically become the doctrine of the majority of the Protestant denominationalism world. But again, that phrase is not found, or a phrase like it, in the Bible. All of this has been devised by men who thought God's way was not good enough. Men who wanted an easier way. Men who wanted maybe more control and more power in their religion. You know, the only time that prayer is mentioned and linked to salvation is found dealing with Christians who were already saved in the Christian life and have left Christ through sin. We have an example of this in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 24, with the Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer, when he saw the apostle Peter laying hands on those and using the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Hey, I want this." So he asked Peter if he could buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Peter told him, verse 20. "Your money perishes with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." Now, here's the thing about Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer was a Christian. When Philip came to the area and preached God to these people, many people obeyed the gospel and were baptized into Jesus Christ, and Simon the sorcerer was one of them. He was a saved, born-again child of God. Now, Peter is calling him a sinner because of this wicked thing that he has done. Now, he tells Simon, he said, "You need to pray that God might forgive you because your life is in sin." Prayer is for the Christian sinner. Prayer will not make you a Christian in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Prayer is mentioned again by James, James chapter 5, verse 16. "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So we are told by Christ and by the apostles, take heed of these people, for inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Well, the question is now, what kind of hearers should we be? How do we need to hear and listen to what God has to say? Well, come back tonight and I will tell you. We're going to talk about other types of hearers tonight. We've talked about the kind of hearer we don't need to be. Tonight we're going to talk about what kind of hearer we need to be. And we're going to talk about some other things that we need to take heed of to live a Christian life. So as we come to the close of our lesson today, I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you take heed to the warnings of God? God has told you through the Bible what He expects you to do as a Christian. He tells you how to become a Christian. He tells you how to remain a Christian. And He has also warned you of things to come if you don't? Those are some of the things we're going to talk about tonight directly. Those of you this morning who have never obeyed the gospel, don't you think it's about time that you take heed to your soul? Now, you're not going to see the sign like I put up on the monitors earlier, danger, watch out for your soul. You're not going to see that anywhere. But you will see it everywhere within the pages of God's Word. Take heed to those warnings. If you're not a Christian, give your word, give your heart to the Lord. You need to listen to what it has to say to you. And you need to believe that which you have heard from God. You need to change your life by repenting of the sins, the old you, as Paul calls it, and put it aside and repent. You need to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And like everyone in here that is a Christian has done that. That is a prerequisite of being a Christian. So if you haven't done that, confess Him as the Son of God. And then finally, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You can heed this warning. Because if you leave any one of them out, the others won't save you. You've got to do it all. What about you who at one time were faithful to the Lord as a Christian, but for some reason or the other you have just simply strayed away? You know what will happen to you if you die in this state. You know the result of judgment for you if you're not faithful to God. Take heed. Look at your condition, the condition of your soul, and listen to the warnings that God is giving you to change your life and come back to the Lord. So this morning, I'm asking you to take heed. Take heed and answer the gospel call today while we stand to sing this song.